Good morning, everyone. Okay, this is exciting. Kids, we are excited today, you guys. The kids are going to lead us. And why do we do this? Well, one, why do we let the kids lead us for a whole Sunday morning? We do this because we value kids at WCV, and we know that God values them. We know that he said we've got to be like them to enter his kingdom, and we know they hold a special place in his heart. And it's so obvious because of the time that we've spent with these kids. They are so precious. So we pray today that you can sit back and just ask God to let you see the Christmas story with the eyes of a child today. And just re-engage and ask God to do only what he can do in your life. So let's just, as I pray, can I have the 2 and 3-year-olds just come up with Amanda? Let's just open our hearts to God this morning. Lord, we thank you for the kids. We thank you that you have asked us to become like them, to have faith like them, and only you can do that in us. So we invite you this morning, Lord, to do that in our hearts, and we pray a blessing on each child and each family here, each single here, and each person here. In Jesus' name, amen. And just a reminder, you guys, feel free, parents, to take pictures, but we ask that you not post it on Facebook and just keep it for yourself, unless it's an individual picture of your child. And if the 4 and 5-year-olds can gather on the side so that you're ready to go, if you can gather with Allie, Becky, and Alana. Hey, 4 or 5s. Testing. 4 or 5-year-olds, if you want to come right up, you guys, this is awesome. Thank you.
Christ was born on Christmas Day. While shepherds watched their flocks by night, they saw a bright and shining star. And then they saw a holy light, the music seemed to come from afar.
Check, check.
Testing. Kids on the side. Shh.
It had taken centuries for God's people to be ready, but now the time had almost come for the best part of God's plan. God himself was going to come, not to punish his people, but to rescue them. God was getting ready to wipe away every tear from every eye, and the true party was just about to begin.
Everything was ready. The moment God had been waiting for was here at last. God was coming to help his people just as he had promised in the beginning.
But how would he come? What would he be like? What would he do? The earth held its breath. As silent as snow falling, he came in. And when no one was looking, in the darkness he came.
There was a young girl who was engaged to a man named Joseph. One morning, this girl was minding her own business when, suddenly, a great warrior of light appeared, right there in her bedroom. He was Gabriel, and he was an angel, a special messenger from heaven. When she saw the tall, shining man standing there, Mary was frightened.
You don't need to be afraid of me. God is very happy with you.
Mary looked around to see if perhaps he was talking to someone else. Then Gabriel spoke and laughed with such gladness that Mary's eyes filled with sudden tears.
Mary, you are going to have a son, a little boy. You will name him Jesus. He is God's own son. He's the one. He's the rescuer.
The God who flung planets into space and kept them whirling around and around. The God who made the universe with just a word. The one who could do anything at all was making himself small and coming down as a baby. Wait, God was sending a baby to rescue the world?
But it's too wonderful. How can it be true?
Is anything too wonderful for God?
So Mary trusted God more than what her eyes could see, and she believed.
Dancers, come on up.
Many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear. In a world as cold as stone, must I walk this path alone? Be
Sure enough, it was just as the angel had said. 9 months later, Mary was almost ready to have her baby. Now Mary and Joseph had to take a trip to Bethlehem, the town King David was from. But when they reached the little town, they found every room was full, every bed was taken.
Go away, there's no place for you.
Where would they stay? Soon Mary's baby would come. They couldn't find anywhere except an old tumble-down stable. So they stayed where the cows and donkeys and horses stayed.
And there, in the stable, amongst the chickens and the donkeys and the cows, in the quiet of the night, God gave the world his wonderful gift. The baby that would change the world was born, his baby son.
Mary and Joseph wrapped him up to keep him warm. They made a soft bed of straw and used the animal's feeding trough as his cradle. And they gazed in wonder at God's great gift, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Mary and Joseph named him Jesus.
Okay. Emmanuel, which means God has come to live with us.
Because, of course, he had.
That same night, in amongst all the other stars, suddenly a bright new star appeared. Of all the stars in the dark vaulted heavens, this one shone clear. It blazed in the night and made all the other stars look pale beside it. God put it there when his baby son was born, to be like a spotlight, shining on him, lighting up the darkness, showing people the way to him. You see, God was like a new daddy. He couldn't keep the good news to himself. He'd been waiting all these long years for this moment, and now he wanted to tell everyone.
So he pulled out all the stops. He sent an angel to tell Mary the good news. He put a special star in the sky to show where his boy was. And now he was going to send a big choir of angels to sing his happy song to the world. He's here. He's come. Go and see him, my little boy.
Now, where would you send your splendid choir? To a big concert hall, maybe? Or a palace, perhaps? God sent his to a little hillside outside a little town in the middle of the night. He sent all those angels to sing for a raggedy old bunch shepherds watching their sheep outside Bethlehem.
In those days, remember, people used to laugh at shepherds and say they were smelly.
Ew!
And call them other rude names.
Losers!
You see, people thought shepherds were nobodies, just scruffy old riffraff.
But God must have thought shepherds were very important indeed, because they're the ones he chose to tell the good news to first. That night, some shepherds were out in the open fields, warming themselves by a campfire, when suddenly the sheep darted. They were frightened by something. The olive trees rustled. What was that? A wingbeat?
They turned around. Standing in front of them was a huge warrior of light blazing in the darkness.
You don't need to be afraid. I have come to bring good news. Today in David's town, a savior has been born. You can go and see him. He is lying in a manger.
Behind the angel, they saw a strange glowing cloud. Except it wasn't a cloud. It was angels, troops and troops of angels armed with lights. And they were singing a beautiful song.
Glory to God.
To God be thanks and honor and all our praise.
Then as quickly as they appeared, the angels left. The shepherds stamped out their fire, left the sheep, raced down the grassy hill, through the gates of Bethlehem, down the narrow cobble streets, through a courtyard, down some steps past an inn, round a corner, through a hedge, until at last they reached a tumble-down stable.
They caught their breath. Then quietly, they tiptoed inside. They knelt on the dirt floor. They had heard about this promised child and how he was here. Heaven's son, maker of the stars, a baby sleeping in his mother's arms. This baby would be like that bright star shining in the sky that night, a light to light up the whole world, chasing away darkness, helping people to see. The darker the night got, the brighter the star would shine.
Far away in the east, three clever men saw the very same star. The star that God had put in the sky when Jesus was born. They knew it was a sign. A baby king had been born. They were waiting for this star. They knew it would come.
He's here.
At dawn, they packed up their camels and wrapped gifts for the baby. They brought their most precious treasures of all, frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Special, sparkly, lovely-smelling, gleaming things, just right for a king. The wise men, actually, if you had met them, you'd thought they were kings because they were so rich and clever and important looking, set off. They rode their camels across endless deserts, up steep, steep mountains,
down into deep, deep valleys, through raging rivers, over grassy plains, day and night. And day and night, for hours that turned into days, that turned into weeks, that turned into months and months, until at last they reached Jerusalem.
They went to see King Herod. Surely he'd know where this baby was. But he didn't. In fact, he didn't like the sound of a new king. It made him cross. He didn't want anyone to be king except him.
Go to Bethlehem. That's where you'll find him.
Suddenly, the star they had seen in the east started moving again, showing them the way. So the three wise men followed the star out of the big city, along the road, into the little town of Bethlehem. They followed the star through the streets of Bethlehem, out the nice part of town, through the not-so-nice part of town, into the really not nice at all part of town, down a little dirt track until it stopped right over a little house.
But wait, it wasn't a palace, and there weren't any guards or servants or flags or red carpets or trumpets or anything. Did they get it wrong, or was this what God meant? Sure enough, in that little house, there sitting on his mother's knee, they found him, the baby king.
The three men knelt before the little king. They took off their rich royal turbans and gleaming golden crowns. They bowed their noble heads to the ground and gave him their sparkling treasures. To a journey that had begun so many centuries before, I led three wise men here, to a little town, to a little house, to a little child.
To the king God had promised David all those years before.
But this child was a new kind of king. Though he was the prince of heaven, he had become poor.
Though he was a mighty king, though he was the mighty God, he had become a helpless baby.
This king hadn't come to be the boss. He had come to be a servant.
Spending time with my family and getting presents, and I like the snow and like doing fun stuff.
I like that it's a time where everyone's friends and family can gather around and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I dislike that sometimes people will think too much about what they're getting. than what they're giving.
We like how you'd always give presents, and dislike that how people like don't know like what the real meaning of Christmas is. They just like presents and stuff. I love the feel of Christmas, like all like the lights and the smells and like candy canes and just how everything's Christmassy around Christmas time. That's probably my favorite thing. A week off, that's nice, spend with your family. Oh, I just like the coldness. If Christmas was in summertime, I'd be like way happier.
What I like about Christmas is that it's kind of like a time of community, even for people who aren't Christians, and it just feels like everyone's closer together. And like instead of saying goodbye, you say happy holidays or yeah, just stuff like that. What do I dislike about Christmas? Nothing. It's perfect. Christmas is perfect.
I'd say I like the snow. The snow is really beautiful, except for the cold that comes with it. That's what I dislike.
I like presents and getting together with family, and I don't like the cold.
I like getting together with family, and I don't have any dislikes about it.
I like getting presents and being able to see my family.
I like that it's fun and exciting, and that there's no school. What I dislike is that it's like, some people make it really materialistic and stuff, especially with stores. Materials, like presents and things, they like just make it all about that when it's not, so.
Okay, sure.
That should definitely be
it.
How's it distracting?
I don't see how this is gonna work.
We're about to
see you. Can I come sit with me, my baby?
It's still recording, by the way.
Oh!
That, Christmas isn't like people think it is. It's like way more and bigger. And as a deeper meaning, then it's just like, hey, I want presents. It's Christmas time, I'll get presents. It means more than that, like, because you're celebrating that Jesus was born.
Is Jesus actually born on Christmas Day?
My deep thoughts about Christmas, well, one of them is like how afraid the shepherds were when the angel came because they've never seen that before.
Another thing is how amazed the wise men must have been when they discovered the star in the sky.
One of the thoughts I have is like, is this how Jesus intended, like, or God, how this is how they intended like Christmas to be, like with all the presents and everything like that? Is that how it's supposed to be?
I don't know. We don't always realize that not everyone has a good family to spend Christmas with. And not everyone gets the same happy feelings that a lot of us get around the holiday season. And we have to acknowledge that and maybe be a friend or a family member to those people who don't have one.
I wonder what my friends in Nepal are doing for Christmas.
Go ahead, Emma. It's all on you.
It was your idea. Why is it on the 25th?
Yeah.
Because they won't. Like, it's just kind of random.
Yeah, like why not the 31st of April?
34th.
It's like those reindeers come from and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like who made that?
Like, why is it reindeer?
Where Santa lives? Why
like,
can't
like,
live?
Why can't he live like in, the, in like South America?
Why doesn't he live in Easter Island?
Not in Australia. Can he live in Easter Island?
No, he should.
Oh yeah, he should.
Why is he like red and why is he fat and like who made that up?
It's because of the cookies.
Yeah, he
you know, but who made
that? Why did he eat cookies? And he's sometimes
not. Obviously, we're not getting anywhere.
Yeah, that's true, but like, why is it that?
Okay, I think he answered the question.
Having fun. I like having fun. And, well, it means that Jesus was born and we get to celebrate it and that we get to, have fun, see our family.
Well, it means I have a chance to give people something meaningful.
Christmas to me means how much God loves us to give us his son at birth,
to die for us, and also presents. It means spending time with family, friends, just kind of like thinking about everything I have and being thankful, I guess.
Ugly sweaters, underbaked cookies, and eggnog.
Christmas to me just means pure and utter joy.
Lots of things!
He died for our sins and then rescued us.
Well, he died on the cross.
I guess he's always there for us, so that's a big rescue.
Yeah. Well, he dies for our sins, so like, instead of us having to pay for the things that we've done, he dies so that we can be saved from our sins.
The obvious answer, he died for our sins.
Fills in the empty space in your heart!
And he died for our sins, so we can go to heaven.
And he taught us stuff, so.
Yes!
Woo!
Amazing.
That it's not about receiving presents and just like taking stuff, but celebrating Jesus' birth.
Well, Jesus was born to save our lives, and it's not all about Santa Claus.
Just like what we all hope they understand, just that they understand the true meaning that Jesus was born. That Jesus was born on this day. And it's not about the presents, and it's not about Santa.
I guess mostly that like, the best gift that you can give isn't always something that you can buy from Walmart. It's sometimes comfort to someone who doesn't have a family, or for being a friend to someone who doesn't have any friends. I think that's what I want people to know.
I see a lot of family shows and stuff where they have the common problems, like, oh, the kids are whiny because they want the presents, and the family, like, the parents are rushing around because they have deadlines to do. But at the end, the moral is Christmas is about spending time with your family and being happy. That is true. However, they kind of skip the Christian aspect of it.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money. We just want to make the world dance. Forget about the price tag. Ain't about the, cha-ching, cha-ching. Ain't about the, ba-bling, ba-bling. Want to make the world dance. Forget about the price tag.
Talk until the microphone is on. My name is Mike LeBoon, and I'm Jody LeBoon's wife. We're kids pastors here. We have so appreciated working with the kids. Sorry? There's no way to recover from that. I'm sunk already. Nothing else I say will you listen to. I'm not going to try anyway. We just so appreciate getting things right with the kids, such as talking about the Easter season. What's wrong with me? Talking about the Christmas season. And, you know, the questions like, you know, why doesn't Santa live on Easter Island? You could hang out with a bunny. That would make sense. They could kind of combine operations. But, you know, if you think about it, this generation is going to have to figure out a lot of things. We live in a time where North American culture is trying to rapidly pull away from its past, from its moorings that it's been in. And this generation is going to have to figure out what it means to be part of a people who remember and cherish the stories that have built our ancestors, that have made them who they are. And that is a unique role to be in, and a difficult one. And so questions that they're asking, like, what is Christmas really about, become important. So if you don't mind, I just want, if you could just join with me to pray for the new generation that you've just seen here on stage. And I hope they've blessed you. And if they have, could you turn around and bless them? Because I think that this is important. This matters. Because they will carry the torch farther for longer than we have. So God, we just ask that you be with this generation. Lord, we ask that you inform them how to interact with our evolving, changing, pressing forward culture that wants to leave you in so many ways in the dust. God, I ask that you give them clarity as they grow and they learn this story to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to know his name, what it means to know his story, what it means to sacrifice for him in a world that no longer believes in sacrifice. God, we live in a culture that's even denying it's a good thing for Jesus to have sacrificed. They think that would mean that God is too harsh. But oh God, your sacrifice meant everything to us. Has meant everything to generations that have come before us. Oh God, would you give us the torch so that we could pass it forward to the new generation? If you folks, many of you have come here because you are, because you know kids that were on stage right now. If you could just join with me, just picturing someone precious to you in your mind, someone from an upcoming generation. And if you could just close your eyes, if that's an easier way for you to picture them, or look over to them, if that's an easier way for you to picture them, or if you aren't connected with anyone who's on stage here today, just choose one from over there or in front of us, and just hold them up towards the Father. Lord, we just thank you for these kids. Lord, we thank you that you bless them. Lord, help us know the words to say and the prayers to pray, so that they too would carry the torch that we've carried and would take it farther into the future. And that they would carry it strong enough and bright enough that they would pass it on to the next generation. And the next, and the next, until you return to bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen. If you know someone who's on stage today, talk to them about the fact that they contributed. Talk to them about how they blessed you, and encourage them because they carried the torch today.